Okay, this is where we're at in our classes. We started off our class talking about why we're here, purpose of our existence. And we're here, what? Well, he says to get to heaven, right? To know God, love God, serve God, in this life to get to heaven. Then the next class, we talked about the Trinity. And we talked about the infancy of Christ. And we talked about his public life. And last week, okay, one over here. Last week we talked about, Okay, so last week we talked about the different titles for Christ. Remember some of the titles we had for Christ?
The Good Shepherd.
Good Shepherd. Another one? Yeah.
Best friend.
Best friend. Another one? Emmanuel means God with us. Another one? Jesus, great. Jesus means Savior. Good. So those are different titles for Christ. So now we're going to be moving on to another topic. And just listen to this before we get into it. Jesus chose some friends. They were called his disciples. Then he chose his best friends. They were the apostles. Then of the apostles, he chose his best friends, and there were three, and that was Peter, James, and John. Then of those best friends, there were two, that were his two best. That would be Peter and John. And his best friend was John, the evangelist. So he had his favorites. Okay, our Lord spent three years with these men. They really didn't seem to get to know him perfectly during those 3 years. They had a lot of confusion. It was only after the coming of the Holy Spirit that they really finally started to understand who Jesus was. I repeat, it was only after the coming of the Holy Spirit that they had a correct understanding of Christ. Up to that point, for example, Simon the Zealot thought that Jesus was going to be a powerful king. It would overcome the Romans and the Jewish people could be free. It was called the Zealot. There was a political party called the Zealots because the Jewish people were under the dominion of the Romans. The Roman was the most powerful country in the world for about 500 years, up until about the year 300 and 200 years before. The Romans dominated the whole world. They had colonies in Africa, all over the world. So, and they subjugated people. And the Jews were underneath the Roman dominion. The center was Rome, and the most powerful man in the world, his name was Caesar. And even Caesar, at one occasion, they had to honor Caesar as if he were God. Now Pontius Pilate, where Jesus died, was the governor of where Jesus lived. So he had power, local power. But Caesar was the most powerful leader in the whole world. So some of the zealots thought that Jesus came as a powerful man that would be able to overcome them by military force, but that was not his purpose. So once the Holy Spirit descended upon them, then they started to understand really who Jesus was. But it took the coming of the Holy Spirit to enlighten them, to take away their blinders, to understand. And then the apostles, how are they going to die? How did St. Peter die? Crucified upside down. How did St. James die? Chopped his head off. How did St. Bartholomew die? They peeled him alive, the way your mother peels potatoes or onions. He was peeled alive, no? Imagine that. And he purposely was willing to suffer that cruel torture to be able to follow Christ all the more. Maybe some of you went to Mass on Sunday where Father Larry and I, we talked a little bit about Jose Sanchez del Rio, no? That boy martyr from Michoacan who died when he was only 14 years old. Any of you see the movie The Cristeros, For the Greater Glory of Christ? He was 14 years old and they actually took a knife and they cut his feet, trying to get him to curse Christ. And he said, Que viva Cristo Rey. Que viva la Virgen Guadalupe. Then they actually hit him with machetes. And then they ended by beating him, and they shot him in the head. And his last gesture was he took his thumb and made a sign of the cross with his blood, and then he died. He went to heaven. He was only 14 years old, about your age. 14 years and 11 months. Now he's in heaven. Right, Diego? He's in heaven now. But if you read his life, I think one of the key things was this. When he was incarcerated, when he was put in jail, and it was in the Church of Santiago Apostle in Sahuayo, he didn't have any food, so they brought him a basket of food, bread and some cheese and maybe some fruit and some vegetables, but hidden within that basket was the consecrated host. So he'd be receiving communion every day, and that's what gave him strength. The body and blood of Christ. That gave him strength. So we're going to get to know now, get to know a little bit better the third person of the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to know the Holy Spirit today. Ready? You have a best friend always, and that best friend is the Holy Spirit. Even the best of friends in life sometimes fail us. Being perfectly honest, we at all times fail them too. St. Thomas Aquinas says that a true friend wills the good of another. Great definition. The greatest good possible is to unite us with God in time and for all eternity. Jesus and friendship. Jesus called the apostles his friends at the Last Supper. Before Jesus went to heaven in his ascension, he promised not to leave us alone as orphans, but to send us another. Who is this person that Jesus wanted to send us to help us and to strengthen us and to counsel and to console us? This person is the topic of this class, and this person is God himself, and he is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Say the words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Once again, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you're crossing yourself, you're calling to mind the Holy Spirit. Do you know when the Holy Spirit first came in you?
When we were baptized.
Right. Good response. And the priest said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit came within your soul the very moment you were baptized. That's incredible, isn't it? Think about when your mom and dad brought you in the church, you were a little pagan baby. Little pagan baby. When you left, you were a temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Blessed Trinity. Wow. You couldn't really see it in a little baby. Probably cried the same way, huh? But it was just a radical change through baptism. I'm gonna tell you a very interesting story. Something happened to me about 10 days ago. See if you can, how you interpret it. Is it a sad story or a happy story? Okay, it was November 2nd, which is the Feast Day of All Souls. Hopefully, you know, your mom and dad, we took you to church to pray for your or some relative that's passed away. And that day I was very busy because we as priests, we can say three masses that day. And I like to say three masses to try to help the souls in purgatory. One is because my father passed away and I like to pray for him I pray for him a lot, but especially in all souls, I like to pray for my father again, who died 3 years ago, on October 1st. But someone brought to my attention that in, you guys know where, you ever hear of Long Beach Memorial Hospital? Well, there's a hospital in Long Beach, it's called Long Beach Memorial. And often they call, we as priests, we do many, many things. Weddings and funerals and teach catechism, hear confessions, give advice, a lot of, probably about the most varied vocation in the world of being a priest, okay? And a couple of people came and said, you know, a baby was born, but the baby is in the incubator. Know what that is? Incubator? What's that, Diego? Yeah, and you have to put it has to be covered by a plastic tube, and often is has a tube in the mouth or because the baby has difficulty with breathing. So I went there. Baby was about 2.5 weeks old. And the purpose for me going there was to baptize the baby in the hospital. Usually the baptisms are in the church. 99% of the time we baptize in the church. But when there's an emergency, that means where there's a real danger that that child or adult can die, we can baptize anywhere. You can baptize anywhere. And to baptize, you have to have these conditions. You have to have what's called matter, form, and intention. What the heck is that? Matter. Matter is you have to have water, right? What about form? Form, you have to say the right words. And intention, you have to do what the church wants. So I went in there with Teresa, who works in the catechetical office, who drive there. And there's you've ever been to Long Beach Memorial, there's what's called Miller's Hospital. Miller's Hospital is where you have little babies. So I went there, and the baby was breathing through a machine, and the baby had, his head was about twice as big as a normal-sized baby's head. So obviously there's something really serious. And I baptized the baby in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with water. It was actually water from Lourdes. And I just found out that 4 days ago that baby died. Is that a happy story or a sad story?
Sad story.
My question is a tricky question, really. You're right, but is there some bit of joy in that? No? I suffered with the parents to see the baby sick. When I heard that the baby died, it hurt even more. But you know, I had a lot of joy in my heart. You know why I had a lot of joy in my heart? Luis, where is that baby? Why? What? And what did I give the baby? Baptism, right? What happens in baptism? What's erased or washed away once you're baptized? What's that? Original sin. So it's sad that the baby died being less than 3 weeks. But the fact that baby's in heaven, it's incredible. Now, if you did not have your Catholic faith, that would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? Well, it would be. You don't have a Catholic faith. Okay, a little baby that suffered in the womb, died, lived 3 weeks outside the womb, suffering the whole time. What the heck is this? But if we have our Catholic faith, that suffering was very short. Now that baby is in heaven for all eternity. And on Tuesday, we're going to have a funeral mass for the little baby. The parents are going to come in. And there are going to be a lot of tears. But I saw the parents, and I was trying to give them my condolences, trying to encourage them. They said, you know, it's really tough to have your little one die. But you know, that little baby's in heaven. The parents had a big smile on their face. Because they knew that that baby is in heaven for all eternity. And we can actually, we shouldn't pray for the baby, but pray to the baby. See the difference? We pray for someone that's in purgatory. We pray to a saint that's in heaven. So our faith really explains everything, doesn't it? And our faith has meaning. Our life has meaning in the light of the faith that God has given to us. Amen? So you ready? So I thought I'd share that story because it's very much related to what we're talking about today, about the presence. You know, God is up in heaven, but he's here too. We're all starting with baptism, right? Who then is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is God. That's number one. Holy Spirit is God. Moisés, what do you think? In God, who is he? The Holy Spirit is God, and he is the third person of the Most Blessed Trinity. He's the third person. Who's the greatest? Okay, who's the greatest? So, true or false? None of the three persons is considered the greatest. They are all equal, but distinct or different. True. So who's the, Diego, who's the first person? God who?
The Father.
Who's the second person?
The Son.
Who's the third person?
God the Holy Spirit.
Who's the fourth person? Yeah, there isn't one, is there? Okay. You should have seen the shocked look on his face, no? It was good that you had that shocked look on your face because there's no four persons, right? That would be a quatrinity, right? Rather than a trinity, huh? There's only three persons. Yeah. How is the Holy Spirit related to the Father and the Son? Okay, why don't you write this? I think we did this about 4 weeks ago, but let's go refresh your dusty and rusty imagination, okay? Or memory. Okay, write down at the top of that number, write down, you got the Father, and you got the Son. And the Father loves the Son. And the Son loves the Father. Father generates the Son and loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. Who's the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is a mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. Got that? Okay, so it's like this. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the mutual, write this, and the mutual love, or you can put mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. How are we related to the Holy Spirit? Okay, in the very time of our birth, baptism, when we feel holy, we became temples of the Holy Spirit. When? Baptism. Very moment of our baptism. We feel holy. We become temples of the Blessed Trinity. We became sons of God, brothers of Jesus, and we became friends of the Holy Spirit. We became friends of the Holy Spirit. Okay, is it possible for us to lose the Holy Spirit? It is possible for us to lose the Holy Spirit? Well, Luis, you're a theologian in disguise. What would be the way in which we lose the Holy Spirit? You know. Go ahead. Don't fake it. You know it. Diego, when do we lose the Holy Spirit? You got it. Okay, so when we commit a mortal sin, we lose the presence of the Holy Spirit in our souls, as well as the Father and the Son. Okay, write down next to that, and when you write down next to that, the three conditions. Remember the three conditions of mortal sin we talked about a couple weeks ago, remember? I forgot. Okay, they are grave matter. Second would be, Diego, full knowledge. Moisés, what's the third? You're faking ignorance. Is full knowledge, it would be full consent to the will. Grave knowledge, grave matter, full knowledge, full consent to the will. You know, I think probably the easiest example would be grave matter. It means it's something serious. Is going to Mass on Sunday important? Do you know that? So then, Mass is very important. You know that. So you on purpose decide, I'm not going to go to Mass on Sunday. That would be a mortal sin. And to be honest with you, if you commit a mortal sin, try to go to confession as soon as possible. Try to go as soon as possible. Otherwise, you're playing what is called spiritual Russian roulette. Yes. Yeah. Do you know what Russian roulette is, Luis? Ever heard of that? None of you heard of Russian roulette? It's called spiritual Russian roulette. What is Russian roulette? Say it again. So like you take a gun, the gun has a barrel and you got bullets in it, and then you kind of spin it, right? Then you shoot. And it's kind of a chance. Maybe you got the cartridge in it, maybe you don't. In other words, you're playing seriously with your life, right? And then never do that. But if you're living in mortal sin, if you're living in mortal sin, what happens if you die in mortal sin? You could lose your soul. And you guys are young and healthy, right? Okay, you know, most of you are 13, 14, 15, maybe 16 would be the oldest. You're relatively young. We as adults are a little bit older, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you could get in a car accident. I hope it doesn't happen, but you could get in a car accident, right? Or you're hitting the streets of Weingard, you got a cholo that shoots, and you don't duck in time, and you got the cholos out there, right? The loquitos, huh? I mean, they're out there, no? You're living in Artesia, the Chivas, right? Or the we don't know. In Artesia, called the Chivas, no? Guards, they call the loquitos. No? So you don't want to be playing Russian roulette with the salvation of your soul. We don't know when we're going to die. Remember when I was your age, I was talking with my older brother about this, and there was this story of this guy that went to the Second World War. There's bombs and grenades and tanks, and it was really dangerous. And nothing happened to the guy. When he came home, he's walking on his dock. He slipped on his dock, hit his head on the dock, fell in the water and drowned. You can never tell, right? Yeah, that was the safest place in the world, his own dock. But there he was out there fighting against Hitler and the Germans and the Nazis with the tanks. Nothing happened. When he came home, just slipped on the dock, fell into the water. And he drowned. So we don't know. We really don't know when. We don't know when God's going to call us. So you commit a mortal sin. Try to go to confession as soon as possible. That's called good fire insurance, right? Fire insurance. Avoiding going to hell, right? Because in hell there's a lot of fire, right? Not that one. Got to pick up the humor, okay? Okay, ready, Freddy? Lista Calixto? Yes. Me explica, Federico? Intendis Mendes? Contente come Sargento? How about that? I'm a poet. I'm a poet, and I don't even know it, huh? So, can we lose the Holy Spirit through mortal sin?
Yes.
Can we restore His friendship?
Yes.
Of course, and as soon as we want, by making... Okay. But even before that, by making a perfect act of contrition. By making a perfect act of contrition. Perfect act of contrition. Who's that guy talking behind me? Your husband, right? He's got a really good class. He's on the roll, isn't he? By making a perfect act of contrition, the friendship of the Holy Spirit is restored. However, I should try to go to confession as soon as possible. Confession as soon as possible. Okay, let's talk a little bit about making a perfect act of contrition. You know what that is? Very important. Okay, say for example, I hope it doesn't happen, but on Sunday, it's a really nice day and you go out to the park and you're playing sports. And then you got a picnic, and then someone has a birthday party and takes you out to a restaurant, takes you out one of those elegant restaurants in Southern California, takes you to one of those Pollo Locos, okay? I mean, you're going to town, huh? You know, the elegant restaurants of Southern California, right? Okay, and then what happens is it's 6 o'clock. And you know there's one more mass left in St. Peter Chanel, which is 7 o'clock. And your friend says, hey, you know, son, let's get an ice cream. Let's go to Baskin-Robbins, no? Double-decker, no? chocolate vanilla with chocolate with some pistachio in them. Bit of a bit of mocha. Oh man, that Baskin Robbins one. Great ice cream, huh? And you say, yeah, let's go there. And by the time you get there, it's already 7:15. By the time you finish your ice cream, it's already 8:05. And Father Dave is giving the final blessing at the Mass. And you, when you were there eating that ice cream, you knew that you should have been in church. You know, your conscience was bugging the heck out of you, you know? You're chomping on the ice cream, but your conscience was really torturing you in a certain sense. Okay, you go home. It's already 8:30, 9 o'clock. Before you go to bed, okay, you're in mortal sin, right? Can you get out of it? Moses? Okay, confession, but are you going to, you know, pull Father Antolini out of the bed in his pajamas? I mean, come on, let the poor guy sleep, huh? We have a right to sleep, don't we, no? You know, you can't knock at the rectory door at all hours. Now, we have to sleep too, right, and eat a little bit, no? We are human persons, right? So you can't eat. That's why we have the house over there not connected to this, otherwise we never sleep and we'd be worn out probably within about 2 months, no? People would never leave us in peace. So, you can't go to confession. Maybe Monday. Maybe your grandpa's going to take you. Yeah, maybe Monday, no? But Sunday you can't make it. How can you get back to the state of grace even before confession? Yeah. But what type of prayer? Okay, yes, but okay, what has to happen in your heart? What type of prayer do you have to make? You can wait 10 minutes, okay? I'm almost finished, no? What?
A prayer of wonder.
Okay. Well, it's this. If...
Wait, the act of contrition?
Yes. Okay, you say the act of contrition. Do all of you have the act of contrition memorized, a longer one, or maybe not? Do you have the one, okay, the longer one, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee?
No.
Or the shorter one? Okay. But you have to say the long one. The long one, but even if you don't say the words, if you make this prayer, Jesus, I'm really sorry for missing Mass. It was my fault. I'm really sorry because I hurt you. And I hurt myself, and I don't want to do it again. I really love you, and I'm going to try with all the energy in my will, I'm trying never to do that again. I'm really sorry, and I know that you died on the cross because of the sins of the world. Because of my sin, I am responsible for your dying on the cross, what I did today. I'm really sorry. Okay, if you say that, you're back in the state of grace. That's huge. Now what I've just taught you right now could save your soul. You might be 70 years old and maybe, you know, this is going to be another 55 years later in your life. You may remember that. Maybe you got drunk and you didn't go to Mass and something happened. And you're dying. And the priest can't make it, and you make that act of contrition in your heart, you're back in the state of grace. It's huge. Right, Araceli? Now, no one knows this. I don't think any of your parents know this. But given that I have a degree in theology, I do know it. That's why I'm a teacher, and I'm teaching you now. That's huge. Because, you know, you're looking at a parish that has a lot of priests, but there are less and less priests. In 10 or 15 years, you might not see a priest that much because there's less. The church is shrinking in numbers, no? Right now you see priests, and this is one of the parishes that has a lot of priests. We've got 5 priests here, no? 2 of them are getting older, but, you know, 3 are very active right now in this moment, no? I think I learned that when I was 7 or 8 years old, having a really good catechist, my mother, no? I don't think I ever forgot that, no? That's the way she was taught by those nuns in Detroit, you know, 80 years ago. No? When the catechist was the best in the world back in the 40s. No? In the 40s, you weren't even born yet, were you? 1940. No? But I think you try to remember that. Try to avoid sin. But if you commit a mortal sin, try to tell God you're really sorry, you love Him, you try not to do it again. Back in the state of grace. Tell your mom and dad this. Your mom and dad didn't know this. Maybe you teach them that tonight. It'll be a good conversation at dinner. Well, Father Broom taught us this, that if we do commit a mortal sin, we make a perfect act of contrition before making the confession. We're already restored to the state of grace. Then we've got to go to confession. Tell mom and dad that. They don't know it. Who knows? Maybe you're going to be the instruments by which your parents are saved. Wouldn't that be beautiful? The teenagers catechizing the parents. Huh? Should be the other way around, but God can use different paths, can't He? Got that? So a perfect act of contrition. You just have to open up your heart to the movement of grace. It can happen at any moment, but you have to be open to grace and allow the Holy Spirit to move you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Right, Luis? Okay. Next. How about some other names for the Holy Spirit? Remember, last week we gave some names for Jesus. Right now we're going to give some names for the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Okay. We'll give a few, and you can find others in the Litany of the Holy Spirit, as well as the prayer called the Sequence. We pray on Pentecost Sunday. Here they are. Here they are. Sanctifier. Know what that means? He who makes us holy. Consoler. Know what that means? He who gives us comfort. Counselor. Know what that means? He who gives us advice. Finger of God. Like a painter. Painting the image of Christ in your soul. Paraclete. Paraclete. He who intercedes for us. Like a judge. Then, okay, you've got, write it in there, the gift of gifts. The gift of gifts. You see those three letters, CCC? What does that mean? Moisés, you know what that CCC means? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. It means the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay? So it means the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay, another title is the Sweet Guest of the Soul. The Sweet Guest of the Soul. The Holy Spirit is the guest of your soul if you're living in the state of grace. He's the love of God. He's the third person of the Trinity, and he is, the last one is, he is the interior master. The interior master. He's the one that teaches us about God and about the ways of God in the depths of your heart. Number 9. Can you give me some symbols to help understand the Holy Spirit better? Great. A symbol is a mere comparison to shed further light on the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. Here are some of the most common found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. They are, do you remember when Jesus was baptized? I remember years ago, it was getting close to confirmation. And they asked the boys, you better respond to this, because in the confirmation mass, the bishop might ask you questions, and if you don't respond, the bishop would say, who's your teacher? Father Broom. So I didn't want to get in the doghouse. So I want to make sure that they knew, you know, the basics, because the bishop might ask questions. Who's your teacher? Father Broom. Well, he's a really lousy teacher. Why didn't you learn that? No, I didn't want that to happen. No. So I said, who's the Holy Spirit? No response. Who's the Holy Spirit? Come on, you guys. You know, I talked to you about that. No response. Who's the Holy Spirit? And the boy in the back raised his hand and said, the bird. At least he got the sample, right? The bird. Or as they say in New York, the Boyd. The Boyd, as if you speak like the New Yorkers, the Boyd, the bird. Okay. So, we're going to give the first symbol is the dove. Remember when the dove descended upon Jesus in his baptism? You know, the dove is a bird, right? The kid. At least you remember the bird. You know? The dove. Another one would be, I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. The next one would be, what happened on Pentecost? He came down on
fire.
Fire. So the dove, fire. What else on Pentecost? Remember the house was being wind. Wind is another symbol of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and he is cloud. Cloud, another symbol of the Holy Spirit. And last but not least, a gentle breeze. A gentle breeze. Una brisa suave, si hablas español. Gentle breeze. Those are symbols for the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go now for the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, can you name the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes, and these are important to learn and understand through study. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are I think you know them, right? Don't fake ignorance, you know it, right? You know?
Piety.
Okay, good. Let's start in the proper order. You hit one of the last ones, okay? First one is wisdom. Wisdom. Second, knowledge. Third, understanding. Understanding. Fourth, counsel. Counsel. He gives us good advice. Fifth, fortitude. Fortitude gives us interior spiritual strength. The sixth, you mentioned it earlier?
Piety.
Piety. You know how to spell piety? I say piety. Piety. You recognize God as your Father. All of us are brothers and sisters, that's what it means. And the last one? Actually, four words in one. You know? Fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord. Those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can you name some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? So if you live out the gifts, then you're going to experience the fruits, which are interior sweetness. And they are Can you name some of them? Yes. The first would be peace. Peace. This means peace. Then joy, chastity, meekness. And follow two more. Self-control. Patience. Long-suffering. When we open to the presence and gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we experience this wonderful sweetness in our souls. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are for our taking. Number 12. What is a special day or solemnity in which we honor the Holy Spirit every year? Okay, what day is the day we celebrate in a very special day, way, the coming of the Holy Spirit? I think you know. Go ahead.
Pentecost.
Yeah, Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday. This wonderful church solemnity we celebrate 50 days after Easter, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. What happened on the first Pentecost? After the apostles prayed and fasted with the Blessed Virgin Mary for how long? How many days? 9 days. That's a powerful novena. And the Holy Spirit manifests His presence through a powerful wind and tongues of fire that settle over their heads. Okay, was there a change in the apostles? Thirteen is 9 days, okay, for 9 days. Okay, what are the changes? The apostles are praying for 9 days and nine nights. Is there any change in the apostles? Did they speak different languages? What do you think? Yeah, they went out and they were able to speak different languages because they were sent to the whole world and God gave them the ability to speak languages without studying. What else? Were they courageous?
Yes.
How did they die? They died as martyrs, right? Did they begin to preach and heal with trust and strength? Okay, so they were able to preach the Word of God. You know, St. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He gets up and preaches after Pentecost and converts 3,000 people in one homily.
Wow.
Imagine that? He denied the Lord 3 times. And he gets up after Pentecost and he converts 3,000 people in one talk. Wow. That's incredible, isn't it? Then he gives another one. He converts 5,000. Two homilies, he convinces 8,000 people. Not bad, huh? You got to get all these people baptized. They want to be baptized. So the apostles had a lot of work to do, didn't they? But it's the presence of the Holy Spirit that gave them power. Okay, were they persecuted and even martyred for Jesus? All the apostles, except St. John, the Beloved. He was the only one that didn't die as a martyr. Okay, next. Where can we find the Holy Spirit in the Bible? In many places, but especially in the book. Remember the Gospels? We talked about the Gospels. How many Gospels are there?
Four.
What are they? Matthew?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Matthew, Mark, what follows Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You know in the Bible? Ends with an A. What? It's Acts of the Apostles. So you got the Acts of the Apostles that follows... that follows the Gospels. And it's known by many, it's known by many as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the book afterward, you read that, you really get to know who the Holy Spirit is. All right, now, Mary and the Holy Spirit. How is Mary related to the Holy Spirit? In the mystery of the Trinity, Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. And Mary is the mystical spouse. The mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. St. Louis de Montfort says, those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into their souls. In conclusion, in life we all need to have friends to be with us, to talk to listen to, and to comfort us in times of loneliness. The Holy Spirit that lives in the soul in grace is always ready and willing to listen to us, to encourage us, and to support us on our highway to heaven. I'm going to teach a very short prayer that you can all learn. You listening?
Yes.
Here it is. We're going to say it three times. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. You say it?
Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary.
Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary.
Come,
Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Let's say the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour. Okay, you can do the attendance?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Is it the folders? You guys...